Very good morning to you all. We continue our series on the attributes of God, and this morning we are looking at, in a pastoral way, we are looking at the omniscience of God. Who can tell me what that means? God knows everything. Everything. And I've chosen a representative Bible text from which I will preach my message. Hebrews 4, verse 13. Shall we read it together? Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. This is God's word. Let's pray together. In Jesus' name, Father, communicate your truth. And we know, because you say in your word, Lord, you often take that which is weak in the eyes of the world to communicate immense power. Vindicate your word this morning. Father, block the stupidity of our prejudice. Give us humble, pliable hearts that your word can work with. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're looking at the omniscience of God. And here we have a very clear statement made about God in the Bible. Here we're told that God knows everything. Look again at the text. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing. There's nothing that God does not see. Then we read, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him with whom we must give an account. Everything is known to God. Now, I realize that this is a very simple passage to understand. But let it sink in what these words actually mean. We, you and I, must give an account. In other words, we are held responsible and answerable to a God who knows absolutely everything about us. How does that make you feel? Well, if you understand what I've just said, and if you're an honest person with courage, then it may make you at first feel a little bit uncomfortable. What? God knows everything about me? Everything? Everything is uncovered and laid bare before Him? I don't know about you, but that used to really, really worry me. Why? Well, because as a sinful human being, I know that I've got a lot to hide in this sinful heart of mine. There are things about my past, things I've done, things I've said, thoughts that I've entertained that I have to say I'm very ashamed about today. So many things that I am ashamed and embarrassed about in my heart. Things I wouldn't want to share with you, even today, because I know you wouldn't like me very much if you saw the things that were in this heart. And I don't particularly want an all-knowing God shining His X-ray vision into this man's heart in all the dark crevices where all the skeletons are. You see, if God is all-knowing, as we read in our text, then it kind of puts me in a rather embarrassing position before Him. Do you have that same problem this morning, or am I the only one? Come on. Have you had an absolutely pure day yesterday? All right, then you know what I'm talking about. Jesus explains this dilemma that I'm talking about in John chapter 4, where he says, this is the verdict. This is the bottom line. Light has come into the world, but men prefer the darkness to the light because their deeds are evil. Men would rather skulk in the shadows because they don't want to have their dark thoughts, feelings, desires and intentions exposed. I mean, think about it. The last thing a burglar wants when he's breaking into a house is for someone to shine a light on him, because then his burglary will be seen by everyone. And the last thing that a man with a guilty conscience wants is for a God with X-ray vision to expose all the crevices of his dark heart. To make you feel uncomfortable. And yet, if we want to meet this God of the Bible, we've got to have the courage to admit he knows us through and through. Not only the good things, not only the external, which is usually very polished up on a Sunday especially, but he knows what's in here in the bad days, in the days of temptation and despair. You've got to face this God as he's presented in our text. And this is why people prefer the darkness to the light. They don't want their deeds, attitudes, thoughts and desires exposed. Now you may say, well, come on, can you blame us? I mean, it is rather uncomfortable to stand before a God who searches the depth and crevices of our heart. Because we all know, don't we, that there are some pretty bad things in our lives, even as Christians, that we'd rather keep covered up and hidden from public view. Things that we've really felt ashamed of. And it's not only things in the past, as I've said. As sinners, we all struggle with the fallen nature that we have and will only die when Christ comes again or we die. But we all know what it is daily to struggle with temptations and desires that we really don't like or want, even as Christians. And if God is holy, and we have to give an account to him, as we read in our text. If everything is uncovered and laid bare, well, that's a bit scary, isn't it? God must look right into your heart this morning and see all the skeletons in your cupboard. God must see you, if this is true, at your absolute worst. Now that's scary, isn't it? How can I give an account to such a God? That's the question I'd like to pose to you this morning in the light of our reading. If God is omniscient, if God has X-ray vision, how can I stand before him with a clean conscience? Come on. Listen, hey, if you're not a Christian this morning, I've got a surprise for you. You probably think this doesn't apply to you because you probably think you're good. But I'm talking to you people that have been awakened by the Spirit. You know pretty well you're not good, don't you? You know there are skeletons in your cupboard even though you're a Christian. Do you know this was the very struggle that the great John Bunyan, the Puritan of the 17th century, struggled with for about 3 years of his life. He realized that he was not a good person. He realized He couldn't think pure thoughts. He couldn't desire sincere desires. He knew the law of God, and he knew his sin. And this is what he feared most. He says in his autobiography, Grace Abounding, he says, I knew that this God I feared was omniscient. He wrote this, Lord, you know my heart. You know that no amount of religion or good deeds or outward decoration can cover me up. How can I hide my shameful disposition from an all-knowing God? Have you ever felt like that? We just read Psalm 139. You know me, God, through and through. I know that pretty much what Bunyan was feeling, he knew, and he struggled with it for years, that although he realized God is good and the law is right and he should be living a good life, and he knew he could do it on the outside, he could obey all the things externally, he knew inside he just couldn't get it right. He'd lose his temper. He'd doubt God. Horrible thoughts would come into his mind. And he knew inside he was bad. And he knew, because he knew the doctrine of God's omniscience, that God knew perfectly well that he was bad. And he almost despaired because of this. Until one day, the penny dropped. And John Bunyan realized something about the all-knowing God that gave him wonderful hope. What was it that gave John Bunyan hope and gave him Christian new birth? Well, today we're going to look at the gospel in the light of God's omniscience. Do you want to know what John Bunyan discovered that changed his whole life? Well, you're going to have to wait for a moment. Before we go to our text, let me repeat what I've said so far, so I leave nobody behind, because I want us all together on this as I come to the wonderful truth of the gospel. Firstly, we're told in our text that God knows everything. God is omniscient. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his all-seeing eye. God has X-ray vision. Then we considered how scary that is for many honest, spirit-convicted people. Because when they read the law of God's beautiful truth, they realize, Lord, there's lots in me that's not right. I can put on an act in church, I can put on a show even in front of my family, but I know what's inside me. You see, it's easy for pious and religious people to act and be good in the eyes of human beings because you can't see what's going on in my head and my heart. And as long as I put on a Sunday smile and look nice, you say, oh, what a wonderful Christian. It's easy to put on a mask with people. But you can't do that with God. God sees right through the fancy window dressing of your Christianity, all the social hokey-cokey, which I like to call it. God sees through that. Listen to Psalm 94, verse 9. God says, take heed, you senseless ones, you fools, when will you become wise? Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Do you get his point? Hey, I created vision. I created sound. Don't you think me, the creator of sight and hearing, don't you think I can see and hear? Or as we read in our text today, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Now, if this is so, and I'm sure you've all got it by now, If God can see me at my absolute worst, if I can't act or pretend with God, if God can see all the ugly skeletons in my cupboard, how on earth can God ever really love me? How? Listen, if I could see into my heart the way God sees into my heart, I don't think I'd like me very much. I don't know about you. Well, how can an all-knowing God, who knows what I am, because I know what I am, how can he love me even when he knows me perfectly, infallibly, and immutably? On the inside. Well, here's the answer. Christian. And if you're not a Christian this morning, I beg you, hear the voice of Jesus before you won't have a chance to hear the offer again. Christian, God loves you because of what he knows about you. That's why he loves you. Now you may say, but that sounds like a contradiction. Let me put it this way. Christian, God knows things about you that you may not realize about yourself. Let me share with you briefly just three things that God knows about you infallibly and immutably. Three things that the all-knowing God knows about you. Yes, I know he knows about your skeletons, but let me tell you three things he knows about you that's good. Firstly, Christian, God knows that he loves you. The Bible tells us that ever since the world was created, or even before the world was created, God knew you and he loved you. Listen to Jesus' words, John 17, verse 23. Father, you have loved them even as you have loved me. Christian, you have been loved by God with an everlasting love. Your very name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before there was a world. God has always loved you, and he always will. And God knows this infallibly. The all-knowing God knows that he loves you. And he knows that unconditionally and immutably. God loves you, and God knows that he loves you. So, yes, of course, God sees into your sinful heart. Of course he sees all the weakness and the failure and the skeletons in your heart. But he knows more about you than just how bad you are. Please get this. He knows deeper than that how much he loves a sinner like you. Secondly, God knows, here's a good one, God knows how to make you good. Even though you're a sinner, God knows how to sanctify you. God knows how to pay for your sin. God knows how to make you acceptable in his sight. How does God do it? Well, God sent his Son to live a holy life in your place, Christian. He sent his Son to die a wretched death in your place. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die and to live before he died on your behalf. And God knows, infallibly knows, that the blood of his Son has the power to wash away all your guilt and sin. God knows that the beautiful life of Jesus, that the life that Jesus lived, can be wrapped around you like a robe and cover up all your sins and failures. Yes, of course God knows everything. And of course God knows about all the shameful things that are hidden in every sinner's heart. Even if you're too proud to admit it yourself this morning, God knows what goes on in the depth of your heart. But listen, God knows more than just how sinful you are. God knows firstly how much he loves you. Secondly, God knows how to make you good. And thirdly, God, the all-knowing God, knows, if you're a Christian, of course, that you're not the person that you used to be. God knows that you have been radically changed. You see, when God called you, he placed his Holy Spirit in your heart, and you became born again. You used to be something that was cursed of God, but you've been transformed, and God knows, even though you're not yet perfect, you are being transformed from one glory to the next. God knows that the God you used to hate, you now love. God knows that the sin you used to enjoy, you now struggle with and try to stop. He knows your struggle with sin. If God has put his Spirit in you, you're not the person you used to be. You're a new creation, and God knows that infallibly, perfectly and immutably. So let me close. In the light of the passage we have in front of us, we read, God knows everything, and nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him. And we're told here in this passage, we must give an account to this all-knowing God. In other words, we will stand responsible for our lives before this God with X-ray vision. Nothing is hidden from this God. And it ought to, if you're not a Christian, make you feel very, very uncomfortable. Hypocrisy doesn't work with God. We all know, don't we, that hidden in our hearts are lots of things that we're ashamed about, even to this very day. There are things we would not like exposed to human beings, never mind to a holy God. So how can we ever give an account of ourselves to a God that knows everything about us? How? The gospel answer is this. Yes, God knows everything about you. Everything. But you know what? He also knows how much he loves you. He knows how to make you holy. And he knows that you're on the process right now, if you're born again, of being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He knows this. So yes, God does know everything about you, but don't panic. He knows more about you than just about how wretched you are. His knowledge of you goes deep into eternity. And he knows your love. He knows the power to change you, and he knows what you're becoming. Let me close with a Bible illustration of this. If this morning you feel, oh God, in the light of this passage, I feel terrible because you can't possibly love someone like me. You all know the story of Gideon in the book of Exodus. Well, Gideon was, he lived at a time when the Midianites had overrun the country and they were occupying the land. And the Midianites used to bully and ransack the Jews and give them a terrible time. And the story with Gideon begins with Gideon thrashing wheat in a pit. He was too afraid to come out in the open and thrash wheat. He was afraid of the Midianites. And yet the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and what does he say? How many of you know the story? He says, "Hail, mighty warrior." Hail, mighty warrior. This guy who's hiding in a pit from the Midianites and thrashing in secret. Hail, mighty warrior. And I can just imagine Gideon saying, is this angel sarcastic? Is he rubbing it in? Me, a mighty warrior. But you see, God knew what Gideon was going to be. He knew something about Gideon that Gideon himself didn't know. Gideon knew he was afraid. God knew what he was going to do with the life of Gideon. Now, if this morning, Christian, you feel discouraged in your failures and you know what you are and you know God knows what you are, know this. God sees you and knows you perfectly in a way that goes beyond your failure to eternal love. Trust that, even if it doesn't make sense, because if God knows everything, he can't be wrong, can he? He knows he loves you. He knows how to make you holy in his Son. And he knows you're changing even now. That's the God who knows you. He knows you more than you might realize. Let's pray. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray right now that you convict anyone here who's convicted of sin, that they will look to Jesus and his power to save. I pray for those who in their arrogance and blindness think this hasn't applied to them. They think they're good enough. Oh, Father, show them by your holy law the contents of their heart. And I do pray, Lord, help us to know the God who knows us perfectly. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to remind you, if you can stay after this service, we're having a lunch and you're all invited. If you've got to go, that's fine. But you'll be sorry because there's really some good food there. You won't have to stay that long, but we're putting out tables and we're going to feed anyone who wants to stay, so you're invited. We're going to stand and sing.